You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast. Welcome to the latest episode of the El Arpa Podcast. Joining me, of course, is Maria. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You?
I'm pretty good. Where are we at the moment? We are in the fantastic Matadero. Are we not?
We are in Legazpi.
Legazpi, which is a former converted slaughterhouse and now is a cultural space with places to sit down, exhibition centres, photographs, hipster bars, all that kind of stuff. Is this a nice place? Do you like it?
I love it. Yeah, it's really nice. I think there are a lot of interesting things going on, and even just to hang around doing nothing, it's very pleasant.
It's a glowing review. Okay, so we are in June of 2016. So many things happening. European Championship fever is about to hit El Arpa. Spain and Ireland are going to do their best to get out of their groups. Spain probably have more of a chance than Ireland.
Well, that's to be seen.
They did lose to Georgia recently, so...
Yeah, well, just one more.
Here is a trivia question for you regarding France, okay, since they are the host of the tournament, and you have to say if it's true or false.
Right.
Okay, so if you're carrying snails on the train, those snails need their own individual tickets on the train. True or false?
Depends what you have them on a lead.
It doesn't matter.
yes, they do.
Is
as a group. Is group ticket.
No, individual tickets. But they do need tickets. That actually is true. So
right, I'll be checking that when I get home.
You don't have to check because I stole that from another podcast.
So oh, fair enough. Well.
And they said it was true. So
so now we'll get done for copyright.
No. but we steal from the best. Okay, so this is the end of part one. The obligatory introductory section of the podcast. We'll be back in just a moment after this musical interlude with the inevitable part two. So the reason that we're here at the Fantastic Matadero is that we're seeing an exhibition entitled Sin Filtros, exactly, without filters in Spanish, right? Uh-huh. Which is an exhibition, a photo series based primarily on what?
On the topic of the refugees.
Exactly.
The refugees crisis, basically.
Okay, so I think it's making quite a statement already with its title, Without Filters.
Yeah.
Subtitle being, the photos that Europe doesn't want you to see.
Yeah, I think that's quite a significant...
It's a statement, isn't it?
Addition.
Yeah, it's a statement of intent. I think it's there to maybe set the tone before you see the pictures. I have some things to say about this, but how do you feel about this title? Do you think it's justified?
Well, I think the title is definitely justified, but also when we were walking around, the first thing that came to mind is that it's pretty much a year since, we started doing the podcast, and one of our first topics, if not the first one, was precisely refugee crisis.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like, it struck me that 1 year later things are pretty much the same, if not a lot worse.
Yeah. So. It's still topical. It's still in the newspaper. Sometimes these things can get buried and forgotten about, but at least it's still a newsworthy item, I think. I think it's a fair enough title, but I think for the average Joe and Jane soap around Europe, they do want to see these pictures. I think there's a huge public interest in this topic in general. No, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, that I took it to mean sort of like Europe as an institution.
Well, yeah, in that sense, then, yeah, I think it's a justified setting for the show, or title for a show. So tell me, there are a lot of photographs there. So where do we start?
Well, I think the thing that I found most striking, obviously, you know, it all has a big impact on you, but I think the main thing that you get when you have a quick look is the amount of pictures of kids and babies that there are, you know, and I think that's representative of the amount of children that there actually are, you know.
Yeah, and of course we all remember that famous tragic photograph of the little boy,
of course,
on the beach. So yeah, children are the biggest victims of this situation, but it shows the refugees in different stages and different elements of their of their migration from where they're coming from and to where they're trying to get to, and the countries that stand in between them. And unfortunately, some of those countries in between them are not very friendly or hospitable countries such as Hungary, for example. So we saw some photographs of Hungary, and do you remember what you saw in those scenes?
Well, they were mostly, you know, people trying to cross over or being, you know, thrown back by the police, and just basically the hostile side of it.
Yeah, which I think it's really important to see, because obviously a lot of us probably have a fair idea what the policies are of particularly Eastern European countries, I think, in Europe. But Europe as a whole, I think there's a problem with far-right politics, even here in Spain, in France, with Le Pen, for example, and even in England, you've parties who are bubbling under the surface who have very anti-immigration politics, you know, and with different countries, there's different connotations. In Britain, a lot of people don't like it, but it's not seen with the same connotation of racism that you might apply to other far-right parties around Europe. And you can hear about countries like Hungary closing the borders, politicians making statements that, you know, if you hear them, you go, I can't believe you said that. But then now we see the physical evidence of and the consequence of what those policies and actions and thoughts are, you know, because there's a real, very real consequence for the people who are migrating. You know, they're feeling the consequences of these actions and these thoughts and these speeches. And I think for me, that section of the photographic series was the most, well, one of the most compelling, because I think it's important to see the real life terms of people, these politicians, and you know, suffering the consequences of what these politicians put in place, you know. Even someone like Donald Trump, I read in the paper today, you know, his speeches have filtered down to school level, and you see a lot more racism even in traditionally liberal schools and environments and suburbs, and you have Latino kids being bullied by white kids. So basically, you know, sometimes maybe people might not make the connection between what is said publicly by politicians and what happens on the ground as a consequence of that. But these photographic series, or these photographs in the series, show that, I think, in a very stark and dramatic way.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think part of the exhibition is basically showing, showing refugees traveling by boats, and then there are the ones that are like going, trying to cross like the border on foot. And yes, in this second case is where we see mostly basically the difficulties that they have, not only physically, but, you know, obviously with the weather but also bureaucratically
as well. Yeah, and in the middle of all this human drama with people, you know, getting injured or sick or even possibly passing away, and a huge number of people have passed away while trying to get to Europe, there's still this bureaucratic element that has to be overcome. And we've seen people caught at the border by trying to circumvent these controls, and we've also seen, for example, there's a photograph of a passport that's been lost under sea. It's on the bank or the bed of the river or the sea, and it's a very simple photograph, but obviously we all know that the consequences of that are quite profound, and the implications of that.
Even passport photos as well.
Passport photos, yeah. That was an interesting photo, because I assume that they, you know, when you get a passport photo, you get multiple copies, so that they were able to use some of them for their documents. So perhaps their story had a better ending, based on that visual evidence.
That photo sort of like you know, highlighted the kind of like a lot of identity that that these people go through, you know. In the end, like, you just become a bit of a number of like more people trying to, you know, get to another place. And
I felt a little bit of the opposite, actually, that they're leaving they're leaving their trail, leaving a bit of a mark, a very not a very profound mark, but a mark nonetheless. And there's also a great photo of a guy getting out of a boat, and he's holding his satchel for, you know, for dear life, you know. And the camera is actually half underwater and half over the surface. You can see his foot just kind of being put tentatively into these new waters. It's quite an accurate representation because they don't know where they're stepping into. So I think that photograph quite summed up what's facing them in a very poetic and very clear way. So that was another photograph that I quite liked. Was there anything else that caught your attention in this exhibition?
Well, I don't know, basically to highlight something positive, because everything was very dramatic, but I liked the series of photos that were kind of like families posing, and, you know, they were in the explanation, the caption told you a little bit about who they were and what they were trying to, where they were trying to get to, and what they were escaping from. So I think that, you know, I made it more human. I think that these people, like, you know, like posting in a very dignified way, which is basically the way it should be. But I think that's one of the things that I like the most about the exhibition, that I think it showed like the dramatic side of it, but I didn't find it, you know, I didn't find it was trying to deceive, or I was going to say over dramatize, but obviously it's a very dramatic topic. But I don't think it was trying to be pitiful. I think it was trying to show things as they are, you know, as harsh as they are and as human as they are.
I think as well, whether it's intended or not, it probably is, because it's a very well put together exhibition. But you have evidence of people. You have evidence of people with their photographs and their documents, but also you have other photographs where people are kind of running around in the shadows and running along train tracks and, you know, jumping from one place to the other to avoid detection, you know. So on one hand, there's this irony happening where you have to have identification. You have to be somebody, but until you're somebody, you can't be anybody. Yeah. You can't be spotted,
just,
you know.
It's like a shadow, basically.
Yeah, it's a very delicate tightrope that they have to walk. And not a very easy one, of course. And another photo as well, just before we finish, is of a father carrying his son after he crossed the border, you know, on a train track as well. He's walking across the track. And he just looks so wrecked and tired. And I found that to be the most human photo. Of course, they're all human photos, but it's just the one that shows them as, like, you're just ordinary people who have to do an extraordinary thing. And they must just be shattered emotionally, physically, spiritually, you know, in so many ways. And you know, they're just dreaming and hoping and praying for, you know, at the other side, that they can have a home and a life, and they don't have to be looking over their shoulder, and they can have a normal life that they're entitled to as well. And there's a wonderful piece in The Guardian today from Owen Jones about how it's you know, it's wrong to blame immigrants for all of our ills in Europe and society and on all these things, and how we shouldn't give in to the rhetoric where they are always the bad guys, you know. So, I mean, at the end of the day, these are people who are human beings like everybody else, and it's such a simple thing to say, but these photographs show it as ordinary people, ordinary families in horrific situations. And you see volunteers who can help them in some pictures, and those people need to be commended for what they're doing as well. And you see, as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, borders being shut down, tear gas being thrown, and the ugly politics of right-wing governments being put into action as well. So it's a story that's, as you mentioned as well, it's been happening for a year, and it's probably going to rumble on for another long time. But you know, what people, I think, will benefit from seeing exhibitions like this. And one can only hope, and I imagine that it's happening, that there are similar exhibitions happening in other European cities. Because once you see who these people are, then I don't think you can walk away from it thinking, okay, these guys are bad guys, you know. You're going to think, you know, they need help, and that's what they need.
Yes, definitely. I think we also have to remember that all these photos we have access to them because there are photojournalists there, you know, documenting it and making sort of like a statement about staying there and broadcasting what's happening, recording what's happening. And, you know, I think that's very important. And as you say, we would have no recollection, no idea of what's going on if it wasn't for this. So
yeah, you're right, the photojournalists are doing a heroic job. I think it's one of the most fundamental things that we have to do as a society, basically, is that even if we're not in a position to help someone directly, and of course I don't think it's something that's going to be solved very easily, you know, the resistance of certain governments, the sheer number of people, and then of course the political situation in the countries that they're fleeing from, but I think one of the most dignified and human things that we can do is just know about it and be aware of these things, so that they are not forgotten, you know, and that their story can be told, and that we're with them in some way, because that's what underpins, for example, Amnesty International. Sometimes they can't help anybody, but some people, but they still try to show that they're not forgotten, you know. I think it's a very crucial and fundamental thing that we as society should do, and photojournalists are on the front line of that, you know. So I think even if we can't solve the problem overnight, that, you know, the most important thing is just not to forget and just to keep this story running, basically, you know.
Yes, and well, to that purpose, you can go and visit the exhibition until December. It's on all summer, and
yeah,
I was very happy to see that it's gonna be running for a long time, because that will give people more chances to
see it. Yeah,
to see it, and for the topic to keep on.
Because as regular things. Listeners will know that we very often we're not unanimously positive about exhibitions, but this one, it's 10 out of 10. Can't recommend it enough. It's very important. It's very topical. It's very relevant. And you do very well to go and see it, no?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
All right then. Well, after that, another musical break, and we're going to be back for the equally inevitable part 3. So, this is the final part of this episode of the Adapter Podcast. Anything you want to say?
Well, I think we have to talk about some activities, some course.
Okay, you lead with that. I'll follow.
Okay, well, it's just an English course that we're organizing, special course for archaeologists. So, if there are any archaeologists listening, maybe you can, have a look at our Twitter and...
It's called Digging for English, isn't it?
Yes, it's called Digging for English, because we couldn't help ourselves. And yeah, well, we probably will be running other similar courses for maybe other human groups in the future. So it all seems too trivial after the important topic that we've been talking about. But yeah, keep an eye on our Twitter feed and on our website. And we'll be updating you about our activities.
And we've been getting a lot of love on Twitter lately. So thank you to all our Twitter addies out there. But other than that, that's all we have to say for today, no?
Yeah, that's everything until next week.
Okay, well, you do the duties, you do the honors.
Well, this is bye from Maria.
And goodbye from Enda. See you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast.